Well, good morning. It's great to be with you this morning. I appreciate it. Bob called me a while back when they knew that there was a funeral this week that he had to be at and asked if I would come participate in the series. And it's way easier to come if I can just, let's call it run what I brung, right? Where I can prepare the message. And he said, hey, we're in Nehemiah. Would you finish it? I was like, sure, I guess. And he sent me some great stuff. And as I was starting to prepare to come, I said, hey, Bob, send me the stuff you've been talking about. Let me go through some of your outlines. Let me see where you've been so that I can get a sense of it. And man, you guys have had some rich teaching. But you know, you might, like me, need just to catch up real quick. So because today we are talking about rejoicing, we're talking about this celebration when the job's done, what we can learn about worshiping and pointing back to God. I'm going to run back and just talk a little bit about what I was reminded of getting to this point. Nehemiah, interesting dude, has a really responsible job where he is. He's living far from Jerusalem. But we know when some people come through to talk to him that he asks about home. I mean, what's happening in Jerusalem? Like, what's going on? There was a remnant left there. How are they doing? What's happening? One day, God said he'd take us back. Well, the news isn't good. And it deeply disturbs him and bothers him. And he prays and he goes to a king who's already said, I'm not pouring any more money into that project. And lo and behold, he ends up with a group of people with resources, and off they go back to help out hometown, back to rebuilding the walls, back to getting the temple worshiping or working again. And you would think, right, huge momentum, and he has nothing but problems. He runs into nothing but opposition, both from those wanting to stop him from the outside, and ever have family like this from the inside? Well, you guys have had all the teaching. You can read it. It's a great story. But they've overcome all odds. God works. His favor is upon them. And while it's not in its former glory or splendor, here we are in chapter 12. Where they're going to celebrate. It says, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving, with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. The musicians were also brought together from the region around Jerusalem, from the villages, and it just goes on to say, they bring everybody. They bring the priests, the musicians. I mean, they are going to have a celebration. If you skip down to verse 30, it says, when the priests and Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. And then they have this amazing, they go in two groups, they go two different ways. It's like a big parade, and they sing, and they praise, and they all come back around. Verse 43. The choir sang under the direction of Jeremiah, and on that day, they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing, because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. Well, what we see them doing is taking and recognizing what God has done and worshiping. And so let's just talk about worship for a minute. And then we're going to give you four things, and they're Bob approved. See, I was working on that. I thought that was funny this week. Yeah. They're Bob approved. Four things about becoming worshipers that we can take out of this. First, A.W. Tozer says this, true worship is the missing jewel. As he talks about what it looks like to respond to God and recognize him, it's interesting to me that even in the first two commandments, right, we're told who to worship, don't have any other gods, and how to worship, don't make a brazen image. It seems that it's an important part of Scripture, an important part of our experience. Worship is active. It invites our participation, our posture, and our practice. I've been traveling to a few different churches in my role, and I mean all over. And have you ever been to a church where the person leading the worship does this? No, keep going. I think it's Baptist Mennonite mix. I'm not sure, but. And then I go to another place and they're running with flags across the front. I'm like, whoa, cool. They're really into it. Worship invites our participation. In Psalm 95, it says this, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. What's interesting is everybody worships something. We're created with an instinct to be worshipers. And if you're not intentional or you're not practicing it, everybody worships something. John Calvin said this, the human heart is a perpetual idol factory. Everybody worships something, and then whatever it is you worship, you become. Whatever it is you worship, you become. Hadn't seen a friend in quite a while, and we had a chance to spend some time together, and I was like, wow, are you ever different? And so I just started asking some questions about life and about what he was doing, and it turns out that he got into this group of people who were doing lots of praying together and lots of growing. And what he had been focusing on and the people he'd been surrounding himself with absolutely were leaving a mark and an impact in his life. I've had the same experience where I've met somebody and it's all kind of gone the other way. Bunch of bad decisions, people that highlighted other things, became normal. And you go, wow, what's happened? Everybody worships something, and whatever you worship, you become. Over time, your priorities and actions will expose the true values you worship in life. So, let's talk about becoming a worshiper and four things out of our passage that we can maybe put to work. First, it's a choice. And we'll put it this way, choose to dedicate my life to God. Choose to dedicate my life to God. So they're dedicating the wall, and it says in verse 27, for the dedication of the new wall of Jerusalem, the Levites throughout the land were asked to come to Jerusalem to assist in the ceremonies. They came to do something specific. The first thing we can learn is that you all have a choice. You're going to worship something, and whatever it is you worship is going to show up in your life. And so if you don't choose to prioritize and to put into place the celebration of what God has done and the worship of who He is, then other things will become those things that you worship, and it'll show up in your life. He says, set apart. Every city was to set apart a God. And he calls them to set apart time to choose to recognize what God has done and to come and dedicate. Bob used this term, holy, in every dimension of your life. It's not just on Sundays, and it's not just here and there, But it's this focus on choosing that in my work and in my play and in all that I do, I dedicate my life to God. In Matthew 4, it says, "Get out of here, Satan." Jesus told him, "For scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only." To live a dedicated life in every area of my life, it means I choose to put God at the center. Each day, all the time. The second thing we learn is to choose to celebrate God in my life. They were to take part in the joyous occasion with their songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. How many of you are choosing to celebrate something in the next month or so? Yeah. How many of you have done your shopping? My wife's here, so I'm asking some questions. We find moments to celebrate things. We have birthdays, anniversaries, big moments. In the church calendar, we have Christmas and we have Easter and we have, right? And rightly so. But part of becoming a worshiper is choosing to participate in the celebration of what God has done. Now that's hard. This is a Bobism. Get it? Attitude determines altitude in your life. And I think nothing could be truer. I was driving and thinking about a bunch of the things that have been going on in my life. I do a lot of driving these days and lots of time to think. And so I'm driving down the road and I'm thinking about some of the bad stuff. Some of the like, oh no, I have to do this and this has to happen and that has to happen and haven't done this yet. Now I got no time for this and I miss that. And the more I would focus on that, the more kind of grumpy I got. But ever happened to you? As I was thinking about this, I'm like, you know what? You can turn that around. You can choose to put God at the center, to dedicate, but you can also choose to celebrate. And to do that, you need to recognize what he is doing, what he has done, the gifts he has put in your hands. And all of a sudden, you see all of these things that God is and has done, and you choose to celebrate that. It changes everything. You have a choice. James talks about the power of the tongue and just how absolutely critical it is to control it and the damage it can do. I mean, he says it could steer a ship, it can do all of these things. But it says this in verse 9, sometimes it praises our Lord and Father and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. That what you choose to celebrate and focus on and how you choose to express it matters. Well, let's keep going. We're talking about becoming a worshiper. The next one is to choose to purify my life in God. This is a step that involves repentance and confession. I read verse 30 for you earlier because I didn't want you to miss this. Right at the start of everything, as they put the call out and people gather, you want to know what the first thing they did was? They cleansed. They did a ceremonial cleansing, right? Let's get right before God. And the people went through. And then what did they do after that? Well, the physical location. There's a part of worship coming to our Father that involves confession and repentance. I like the image in Scripture. Paul talks about it a bunch, but you've heard this, dirty garments, clean garments. Anybody? I have had the occasion to do physical work, put on a pair of coveralls. I've had the pleasure of doing some stuff outside in that wet. This is the in-between season. Anybody else had muddy, wet coveralls on at the end of a day? And it's just gross, right? And you just can't wait to get them off, and they kind of are crusty when they come off. And the Bible talks about taking off dirty stuff and putting on clean. Is it what Jesus did for you is he came and he said, you know, all of that stuff, all of your sin, all of your junk, all of your dirt, I'm going to take it on me. I'm going to go to a cross in your place. My love for you is so deep, I'm going to allow all of that to be taken away. I'm going to wash you clean. You'd be justified, just as if you'd never sinned. That when you accept what he's done for you and you walk into that relationship and enter into that relationship, all of a sudden, you are made new, you are made alive. The very first thing they did was a purification. And the truth is, for something to become clean, something else must get dirty. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. As we choose to purify my life in God, it says this in 2 Corinthians 7, because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit. And let us work toward complete holiness because we fear God. Choose to purify my life in God. So we talked about putting God at the center. That we make this choice as a worshiper. We're going to worship something, and I want to keep my worship centered around God. So I've got to stay in that relationship. I've got to put myself in those places, right? And then we talked about celebrating God. That we could choose to focus on what God has done, what he has allowed us, and that we can begin to recognize his work and focus on that and celebrate that as an act of worship and be intentional about that. Thirdly, we've talked about purifying my life in God, recognizing what he did for me, understanding his work and responding to it in my worship. And finally, we're going to talk about sacrifice. Choose to sacrifice my life for God. In verse 43, it says this, on that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. Bring an offering of something. Was in a small village that was out of the way in Vietnam. I was traveling with some people and we were visiting some pastors and we couldn't really speak their language, and we were with people who could, and there's interpreters, and we were looking at a medicine box project. It was super, super cool. We had to be a little bit, we weren't supposed to be there, so you couldn't hang out long, but it was really fun. We're in this pastor's home, and there's some other people around, and if I recall right, I think the floor was dirt, but they were making us something, and they're going to bring it and serve it to us, and I said to Mark, who was with me, no thanks. No. It was some kind of tea and some kind of biscuit that was unrecognizable to me, and I kind of knew that my intestinal fortitude, as they say, isn't as strong, and that this may cause me great discomfort. And he just kind of went, too bad. I come to find out that they have very, very little, and that they sacrificially wanted to share with us. And it was so important to them. It changed everything. When I found that out, you know what I did? I was just honored. I was a little humbled. But it made all the difference. When the Bible says, bring a sacrifice of praise, come before your God with something. How long has it been since, as an act of worship, you've been sacrificial? Sacrificial with your time? Sacrificial with your money? Sacrificial with your comfort? But you've come and said, I bring to you all of me because of who you are and what you've done. It says, on that day, men were appointed to be in charge of the storerooms for the offerings, the first part of the harvest, and the tithes. See, they got the system back up and running. It was a shell of itself, but there was a temple, and now there would be a system, and there would be a place for people to come in their worship and offer the first fruits of their harvest and their tithes. And now they gave some people roles to look after it, because it was supposed to help the Levites, right? But sacrifice precedes joy in all areas, including worship. Choose to sacrifice. So become a worshiper. Only God can bring true joy to our hearts. Now, that was the end of Bob's PowerPoint. And this Bob likes to ask a question when I'm done preaching. And so I'm used to participation from the audience. I don't know if I can do this here, but I'm going to. And so this is your chance to speak. I always ask this question at the end. So let's ask the big question, and then you're just supposed to kind of go, so what? Right? Let's ask the big question. Yeah, that was lame. Can we try it again? Let's ask the big question. Yeah, you came to church. You heard a little story about Nehemiah. We opened up his word. Let's just bring this to, what are you going to do when you walk out of here? And how are you going to live differently this week? Number one, look at your day timer. If God's stirring in your heart today, start saying, what is it I'm worshiping? Is it this device? The game? Distraction? What's consuming my time? And how do I move God closer to the center of that? Second question really has to do with the choices you're going to make. What am I focusing on? Now, a little tip, you could just get a notebook at the dollar store, and you could put the things in the front that you're just praying and entrusting to God, but in the back, you could start writing down the things that you've seen Him do. You could start something that says, hey, I'm just going to be thankful. And I'm going to write out all of the things I can be thankful. Hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to recall my God story. And I'm just going to have it around. And every time He brings something to my mind, I'm going to write it down. And I'm going to start to celebrate and focus on what God is and has been doing. And spend less time on what I don't have or wonder about. It may be today that you need to take some time and go, it's time for some repentance and confession. I've let some practices slide into my life that aren't healthy. And for me to truly worship God, for me to meet with Him, I need to say I'm sorry. I need to do the 180. I need to stop. And finally, as a challenge today, just walking out of here, start asking yourself, am I at all sacrificial in my worship? And if I was, what would that look like? Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for your word, its truth. Thank you for these people and this chance to come and to just be with them this morning. As we offer our voices back to you in praise as the service ends, Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would continue to work in and through your word and our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.